When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williams, and we were chatting there off the air.
Yeah, it happens quite a bit.
Yeah, you
forget what we're doing here.
Caught up here. Matt, I'm looking here at the DraftScout.com pre-Indy rankings of these guys, and this is interesting because they have projected rounds.
Okay.
Next to
so there's not 32 of. There's not 32 first rounders, 32 second rounders.
Right.
I'm
just looking here to figure out where the depth.
Where the clusters are.
Where the clusters are. Yeah. So looking here.
Which is where you want to go fishing.
Yeah.
You know?
One, two, three, four, five, potentially six quarterbacks with a. There are five of them have a first round projected round rating on them. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Penix has a 1-2, which means you're looking at a guy who could go at the end of the first round, early second round at some point.
Do you think Nix gets in?
I mean, he has decent size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers.
Pretty good athlete.
Yeah, pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
You know, potentially it's a quarter. It's quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
I don't know that a playoff team would take him. I don't know that a Vikings or a Broncos would take him in the middle of the first.
Yeah.
I mean, if somehow they traded down or traded back in, I mean, I could see a Patriots don't take one at three, but they move to 29 to get one or that type of deal. Or. You know, the Titans were calling the Steelers left and right to get to 32 last year, which was a second rounder, to get Levis. Well, the Steelers didn't budge, and then they got Levis at 33. You know, maybe that's where he lands.
No fullbacks, not surprisingly.
Sure.
There's a couple there that are draft worthy, but.
Yeah, they'll get a couple picks. Maybe the Steelers even grab one and undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
They're going to have to add some kind of fullback.
Running back, none in the first round, but there's four guys who have great round two type grades on them, or two threes. Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, and Audric Estime.
Okay. I'm hearing more and more that day two, which is great for the Steelers, could get flooded with running backs pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be any in the first round, but there's the Wisconsin kid's supposed to run like crazy at a heavyweight too. So
yeah,
we haven't talked much running backs. I don't think the Steelers will take one maybe until last round.
He's listed here at 6'2", 245.
Yeah, they think he's going to run under
4.5. He's a monster.
Right. He's a freight train.
Yeah. At tight end, just one in the first round. That is Brock Bowers. And you get Jatavion Sanders as a second round guy. Then some more day two type.
The only take I have on that is you want Bowers to go in the top 19, which he will. And you want
Sanders
to go before the Steelers pick in the second round, which I think is a good chance.
And this group not nearly as deep as we've seen in the last couple of years.
I mean, again, it's not a position I've dug heavy into, but there's not a lot of round three, four sleeper project types. You know?
Wide receiver. This is where it gets. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who either have a first round projection or a 1-2 on their names there. And that Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunzier, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Adonai Mitchell, and Ladd McConkie.
Okay. That all adds up. I mean, it could even be more. I bet who's right behind those.
Right behind them are Xavier Worthy, Malachi Corley, Leggett, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Paul. I mean, these are good players.
Those are good players. So if the Steelers are going to take one in the second round, I mean, I don't think you'll get any of those 1-2 guys.
Right.
I think that's pretty safe to say.
Roman Wilson, Devontae Walker, Johnny Wilson, Brendan Rice, Jalen McMillan, Jermaine Burton. I mean, there's guys there in that group that I like.
Oh, I like Wilson a ton. And I was listening to something this morning that they have video of him at Michigan. Some of these Michigan testers are bonkers, by the way, that he could have the best short shuttle in combine history.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's not just a possession guy.
Yeah. That's and there's deep. That position goes deep into the draft. At center, right now they only have one projected first rounder. That would be Jackson Powers-Johnson. And then you're looking at Zach Frazier in round two.
So they don't call Barton a center.
They call Barton. Barton is listed with the tackles.
Okay. So do they? I'm just curious. Do they have a first round on him?
He is a 1-2.
That thing gets about right. Yeah.
Yeah. At guard, just one. That's Troy Fatanu out of Washington.
Okay. It's funny to me that they have Barton a tackle and Fatanu a guard. At least they did move. They projected some other guys.
I mean, Barton could play right tackle.
I'm sure he could. I'm sure he could. Yeah.
At that tackle position, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys who have first round.
Wow. Like, that's rare.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rare. And I don't think I'd have a problem with those 7 names. Yeah.
And there'll be some of these guys with a 2 next to their name. They could go end up going sliding into the end of the first round.
Oh, yeah.
You got Alt, Joe Alt.
He's all right.
Fashanu, Fuaga, J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, and then Graham Barton are the guys.
They have Barton.
Are the guys who guys. He has a 1-2 on him. And then right after that, Jordan Morgan with a 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsley Suamataya with a 2. And Patrick Paul with a 2.
And Suamataya, I mean, we might say in a couple of days, oh, he's going the first round.
he might test ridiculous.
I think he will.
Yeah.
But that's rare.
Yeah. No. And,
really rare.
Yeah. You know, there's a few guys in that round 3-4 range, but not many.
Yeah. So you better act quick. I mean, they're still going to go quick. I mean, there's a lot of tackle needs around the league.
Yeah. So
it'd be nice to take advantage of that deep pool of round 1 guys.
Yeah. Defensive tackle. 3 guys with round one grades on it because they're saying that Darius Robinson is a DT.
I guess that's where I put him.
Which is really what he is.
Yeah, that's where I put him.
Yeah. Jerzon Newton, Byron Murphy, and Darius Robinson. And this is where we've been talking about this. Jerzon Newton, 6'1", 295.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he's for the Steelers.
Byron Murphy, 6'1", 308.
Mm-hmm. What's the round two guys in that crowd?
Then you're Sweat. Looking at Chris Jenkins, Tavondre Sweat. Rue Carrojo,
mm-hmm.
and Brandon Dorius.
Okay, those first three would all be of interest to me.
Yeah, and then you also have Braden Fisk there as a third-round guy.
Would you consider him the third round? I kind of want to, like, go big or go home on that position, but he would jumpstart a lot of aggression. And
he gets after it.
He plays hard.
He plays really hard, you know, some other guys in that one, Mason Smith, we talked about 6'5", 315.
That's the one that intrigues me.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a
big dude.
He was a to-it-like athlete coming out of high school, and he's had some bumps in the road.
But when you look at this group, there just aren't a lot of those guys.
It's that are shallow group.
6'3", or larger. There just aren't a lot of them. I didn't realize Gabe Hall, 6'6", 290. I didn't realize he was that tall.
That's the Baylor dude.
Yeah, the Baylor kid.
Yeah. He would fit the bill, too.
He
was pretty impressed with the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he had a good Senior Bowl. Defensive ends, you're looking at just 4. Leitu, Verse, Chop Robinson, Braylon Trice.
I don't even know Trice gets in.
Yeah, he's got a 1-2 grade on him. So
okay. Two of them, Leitu and Trice, won't test great. Robinson will.
But this kind of shows you that's not the strength of this.
No, it's not.
This draft.
I mean, the whole D-line across the board is not strong.
Inside linebacker. Nobody with a first round.
Yeah. Cooper's the only one I think has a chance.
Where do they list it? I don't even see him listed on here.
Do they do like outside linebacker, inside linebacker, or something goofy
outside,
like that?
Outside backer? Yeah. They list him as an outside.
Oh, okay.
But you got Junior Colson, Jeremiah Trotter is round 2 guys. Cedric Gray, who we talked about in the previous, is a 3, along with Nathaniel Watson, Tommy Eichenberg as the round 3 type guys.
Okay. Well, those are names people should be paying attention to
Jaylen
today, though.
Ford in the 4th round.
Ford seems to be maybe a good value for the Steelers, one of those 4th round picks.
J.D. Bertrand out of Notre Dame, another one of those guys in that round 4 type area. Okay. So there's
mid-round guys make some sense for the Steelers.
Yeah. Outside linebacker, Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell, out of Alabama. And then they have the first round grades in. You got Edgerrin Cooper and Peyton Wilson as the second.
They're more like the last group we talked about.
Yeah. Cornerback. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys.
All in the first round.
In the first round type guys. That's Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Kamari Lassiter. They have Rakestraw as a second round
guy. I'd say Rakestraw could be in that mix as well.
He could work his way in there.
Kind of like tackle. They're always coveted.
Then you're looking at guys like TJ Tampa. This is a guy that I haven't done a lot of homework on yet that I need to, is DeCameron Richardson out of Mississippi State, 6'2", 195,
That's about all I know about him, too.
Yeah, he's kind of a second-round type guy. Mike Sanistrol, we've talked about him a lot. Might be the best nickel in this draft.
They call him a two or a three? Or
say he's a 2-3.
Okay, yeah.
Kalen Carson out of Wake Forest. DJ James, we'll see what he weighs in at. That'll be interesting.
Those day two corners as a whole I need to do more work on, but that might be a better group than originally thought.
Yeah. I mean, you get the Cam Hartz, you got the Kyrie Jacksons, you get the Johnny Dixons out of Penn State. I mean, these are, you know, we're in the round four with some of these guys. That's a deep position.
I think one of the names you mentioned will be a steal.
Yeah.
I mean,
Andrew Phillips, another guy.
That's one I like too.
Yeah. So that's it. That group. Then it's safety. Strong safeties. I like how they break it down up here a little bit. So Jaden Hicks. Second round guy, Kalen Bullock, a second round guy.
Okay.
Nobody in the upper part of that. And then the free safety.
Hicks has an outside chance to be the first safety off the board.
He does. Yeah. He does. He's big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big. The size helps.
Free safety, you're looking at Kinchins and Newbin as kind of 1-2 guys. Javon Buller, Cole Bishop, Tyke Smith. Those are in your round 3-4. Not a super deep class.
And we broke down some free agent linebackers. I think you really got to get a safety before the draft and maybe pretty early in free agency for the Steelers. It's a pretty good crop.
Yeah.
I don't really want to rely on those guys.
When you're matching up those things like we talked about the linebackers, I think you weigh that towards the free agents.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
I'd rather draft a linebacker and sign a safety than the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you can get some of those guys coming off first contracts at the safety position.
Oh, yeah. That are good football players.
Yeah.
Solid. It'll be a good compliment to Minka. Yep.
So,
even a couple older ones are, you know, on their second contracts aren't bad.
So, I'm looking here at the specialists.
Oh.
Which is,
I guess, you know, we have to pay attention to
punters,
right?
Yeah, somewhat interesting here. So, the punters, they have a round three grade on Torrey Taylor out of
Iowa kid?
Yeah.
That's the only one I know. Wow.
Austin McNamara of Texas Tech has a round 5 grade. You're looking at Matthew Hayball from Vanderbilt has a round 6 grade. And then there's some other guys that have.
So is there three draftable ones in that?
From the looks of it, there's some other guys here that have a seventh round or you know, high priority free agent type guy.
Okay.
There's not much these guys are going to do.
No.
Well, he really vaulted up the boards. No, that's.
I mean, more than anything, it's how many teams need a punter.
Yeah.
I mean, is there three out there? Is there six out there? I don't know.
I can't imagine using a third round pick on a punter.
No, I absolutely cannot. And yeah, certainly not here.
Or, for that matter, he has long snappers rated here. They have long snappers and a long snapper with a round 6-7 grade on him. Like,
well, supposedly the end of this draft is particularly terrible.
Yeah.
We've seen some stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers took a second quarterback the year they took Pickett, things like that, just to make sure you get your guy in camp.
Yeah. I didn't write down all the numbers there, but I don't think we got the 32 total guys.
With true firsts.
Yeah.
I bet not.
Because that's just the way the drafts go. I mean, you got maybe 20.
There's a lot of tackles. Yeah. There were a lot of receivers.
Yeah.
And I think you had 5 quarterbacks.
I think this year's group, usually when you look at that, you may have some years where you have 12 guys that have round one grades on them.
That are clear.
This one might. There's probably closer to 20 to 25, which is a little different.
I do think that's true. I mean, I think it would be easier this year. Like, I know there's like pools and bets out there where just give me the 32 human beings that are going to go in the first round. I think this year that's easier than most. You know, because usually it's like I got 15 that are slam dunks, and then this next 40 could go any direction. Where I bet there's 22 that are slam dunks.
Yeah.
You know, like
as we sit here right now, I feel pretty good about that guy's going to be a first round draft pick.
Yeah. I'm aware and I don't have to mock it up, but if he can go in round one or not, yes.
Yeah. There's less variance at the end of the first round, I think, than years
usually
before.
It's like, wow, it could be a lot of different directions.
These 45 guys could go in the first round. I think this year it's more like 38.
Yeah. I think it is less.
So,
yeah.
We'll see. I mean, somebody may really
that will change.
Separate here.
It'll definitely
over
change.
Over the next couple of weeks here, but we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. That's how it goes.
No, I like where the Steelers are sitting, though.
Yeah. No, I like that as well. That was the NFL Draft Scout. Their look at where these guys kind of break out in terms of the ratings here. We're going to get to another
break. We got a guest set up here.
We have a guest coming on here in the next segment. She's not here yet, but Cynthia Freeland.
She's sitting right next door to us.
Oh, there we go. I didn't see her over there. So she'll jump over there from the Tennessee Titans and come over here with us. And we'll get to that when we come back here. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. We are live from the NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. We'll be back with more right after this.
Is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And we'll be joined here shortly by Cynthia Freeland, who is the analytics guru at NFL.com. Does a great job with that stuff. And you know, when you look at that, the next gen stats and all of those kind of things have kind of changed the way people look at football in some instances.
In a very rapid manner. Right? Yeah. I mean, in terms of like everything in this society, I mean, things are happening much, much faster because of technology, and you know, and she's been a big reason why, you know, in terms of all the things that they're working on at Next Gen, and but I'm psyched to talk to her. She comes and joins us every year, which is great, and it's neat to talk to her about what has changed through the technology analytics world just in 1 year, because it's rapid.
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed. And you know, when people talk about the situation with NFL Defensive Player of the Year this past year, some of the analytics stuff I get in terms of, you know,
pressure and win rate,
that
and
kind of
things
stuff
like that. Sure.
But to me, you know, the actual sacks and interceptions and things like that do still matter.
They sure do. They change the game more than a pressure might.
Yeah.
I mean, sack is a negative play. Pressure may end up being a touchdown.
Yeah. Pressure, right. You know, it's good to have pressure, and we like pressure.
No doubt.
You know, but I don't know that you can make that over-reliant on those kind of things. But we have Cynthia jumping in here with us now, and
she's on
Cynthia,
tour.
There we go. She's working her way around. How are you today, Cynthia? Oh, I got to turn you up.
Well, maybe
that would help.
Turn the headset on.
It's okay. I'm better when you can't hear me talking. It's actually the best way to hear me talk. How are you guys?
Good. Great.
How's life treating you?
It's great. The combine is like this weird thing of like Groundhog Day, but like the best day ever. Just but over and over and over again. You're like, I'm exhausted, but I really want to see, you know, you're like, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Give me the hand sizes. Bring it on.
Yeah. It's a great week, but I'm always ready to go home when the week's over too.
I really miss my dog. I was like looking at like the security dogs out here. Like you're not supposed to pet them, but
do not pet.
If you ask them nicely, they'll like, I miss my puppy.
So Cynthia, one of the things that you do in the off season is you put together your mock drafts of all this stuff, but you do your mock drafts differently than the draft analysts and stuff. It's more an analytics based mock.
Yeah.
Well, what's the process?
There's a couple of things. The first is I really want to track the changes we see over time. Like anyone could put together a mock draft and be like, well, I think, and there's a lot of really smart, like fans even could do this, like really smart people who could put together this awesome mock draft based on like, they follow the right people on Twitter, like on what they think will happen. Because the new, like, people are great sleuths with that. I want to more look at over time, and we haven't even had free agency yet. People haven't been released from teams yet. I want to see how it changes and how our perceptions change. So what I'm doing is I'm tracking, like, okay, so Joe Alt going first, everyone, people did not read the premise of the top of my, it's fine. I'm not mad
about
it.
Nobody reads that part. They just go look at their favorite team and then
exactly,
yell at
it. Exactly. Right. But the point is, you know, given what we know right now, like, let's track the changes over time. So what we do is we say, and I say we because my editor won't let me make any trades, which obviously I would make.
Makes it a little more difficult, right?
Right. But it's like, what would add the most value for next year, given the current configuration of the team? In just, you get one, like, what's the one player that adds the most value for this year? So obviously quarterback's the most valuable position. And obviously the strategy would say, okay, Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whichever quarterback you want on a rookie deal, you know, going to pay Justin Fields. Like, actually makes more sense. But that's not what we're doing here. We're tracking how the data shows the increase in the team's ability to win games over time. And time being, I did my first Mac mock before the Super Bowl, and then all the way up leading to the draft.
Yeah. Now, you had Graham Barton, the interior offensive lineman, going to the Steelers. Yeah.
Was that before
that was
or after
before,
they released Mason Cole?
Yeah.
It was. It
probably doesn't even matter because
I think
they needed to upgrade
your mock
there either
came
way.
Out, I'm looking here at it. I'm just wondering. I think it came out like 2 weeks ago or so.
And we kind of knew it was coming
February
9th. Way, so yeah,
February 9th. I feel like that one was one where because it was – I don't know if, like, I mean, listen, our insiders are really good. So, like, if Ian's saying it, I'm going to say it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I think that's such a key, especially with Arthur Smith, the way he likes to kind of craft decisions for his quarterback and running back and wide receivers to make. I think that that would just really give a lot of boost to whatever strategy they want to implement.
Okay. So, what do you see in Arthur Smith? What kind of changes are you a fan? I mean, what kind
Huge.
Of changes are happening? Okay.
So, number one, I don't think people realize, like, Arthur Smith's really funny. If you've guys got a chance to, like...
I haven't yet.
You need to have a beer with him.
Okay.
I mean, or a non-alcoholic beer. Well, I don't know. Right. Am I allowed to say beer? I don't know. You hang out with him.
A pop.
Just
cup
enjoy.
Of coffee. Yeah.
Cup of coffee, perhaps. Yeah. A Shirley Temple. But, like, no, he's super fun. He's very... he's a great teacher. Like, he has a strategy, and he stays true to it.
Okay.
You know, and I love the fact that, like, especially with, you know, younger players or players who, like, you know, they all get to make decisions about who they want to be, but he makes it clear that, like, this is what we're trying to do. Here's the path to do it. And we're not going to stray from that. Like, it's not going to be quarter two and it's not working. And we're going to we have five plans. We'll go to plan two, but we're not going to go to plan 64 in.
Okay.
Right. Like a very,
so he stays on schedule.
Yeah. He stays, but he's and very even keeled. And, like, super dry sense of humor. So it all goes together. When you have your Shirley Temple with him, you'll notice. Like, I mean, he's just got this great sense of humor, very smart. And him and Tomlin together, that's going to be, like, I don't know if you, like, know this, but I, like, love Mike Tomlin. I went up to him at Honors, and I was like, you know, you're, like, my favorite coach, right? he's like, what? And I was like, I just feel like you're so underrated in terms of, like, the amount of BS that you've seen in this, and he's like, oh, this is, and he's like, shrugs it off. I'm like, no, you're incredible. Like, how you spin gold out of everything. Like, it's incredible.
So you're in analytics driven. That's what you do.
That's what I do.
The analytics.
That's what I do.
In some ways, Mike defies the analytics in many cases.
I guess, so here's what it is. That just presupposes that I'm going to tell someone what to do. Like, you can make a higher or lower probability decision, whether, like, I just give you lay out the framework, you got to make the decision. You know,
I mean,
players.
Though, in terms of, like, if you looked at how the Steelers started last
year,
when people were all they were outgained every game, and you know,
100%.
If you looked at the analytics said, well, they should be like 3-7,
one score games, you know,
yeah. Well, one score games are a tough one because that can go the other way, but, like, no, they definitely defied the odds in many ways about many things last season, but. On some level, I think, you know, not that I know anything about what happens in Vegas, but, you know, we do some TV shows about it, and I'm like, ain't no way that it's going to be under 8.5 wins, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
Like, I don't exactly know how we're going to get there, but it might be on, like, the defensive front. It's just, like, it's not going to be 8.
Write it in now. It's going to happen.
I don't care how, but it's going to happen. Because there's, like, a don't quit factor. Like, some teams, like, you see people lose interest in the fourth. People do not quit. For that coach, and it's a big difference maker.
No doubt about it.
And you know, the one score game stuff, it should be returned to the mean at some point. But every year, it seems like he's got a better record doing that than everybody else, or most everybody else.
I mean, I think a lot of it is, again, I think he selects for people who he can teach well. You know, and I think that they get in those nuanced situations. And by the way, they do a really good job of when are they using timeout? People don't give him enough credit for clock management, timeout, like the way that it's done. I don't know, not just clock management, but like run versus pass on for whatever down, but also, like, you know, timeouts, management of the 2-minute warning, and doing that also in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know, the end of games is one thing, but, like, you don't set yourself up for a single possession game in many, like, when you're maybe sometimes under, like, maybe not the best Steelers team of all time last year. Right? Like, if you're not necessarily going into that game as the favorite and you're really good at clock management, you can see what happens here. You get that coin flip weighted a little bit more in your favor.
I know you need to run and you're in demand, but I also know you did a lot of work on play action, and yes. The Steelers have been at the bottom of the league, and Smith is at the top of the league.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I was like, please do more play action.
It's coming.
It's coming to you. I love it.
And it's a drastic change in terms of efficiency, don't you think?
Huge. Yeah. By the way, I had my first, so I did the preseason game against the Bills this year. That was my first time going to your stadium.
Oh, okay.
I'm obsessed.
It
was so much fun. I like loved the security guards. Like that is such a good, like I was, everything was, and that was a preseason game. Let's be clear.
Yeah. Stop by in the regular season. It's even better.
I rent my towel, Renegade. I want the whole thing. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate you stopping by. That's Cynthia Anytime. Freeland. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. We're going to get to a break. We'll be back with more here right after this.
Live from the 2024 NFL Combine, this is Steelers Nation Radio.
Oh, okay. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. We are live at the NFL Scouting Combine, and we're pleased to be joined now by Tony Pauline. He joins us every year, and Tony
might have our longest streak going.
A consulting editor and draft analyst for SportsKita.com. SportsKita, that's a new one for you, right?
It is. It's basically the parent company that bought Pro Football Network. And they asked me to come over, and I was, okay, it's a work Let's in progress, it. But it's great to be back with you guys.
And you're digging into the draft as much as ever, right?
Not enough of it gets up as far as I'm concerned, but then not enough of it will ever get up as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
So, Tony, we've talked a lot about this draft and the depth of this draft, right. Offensive tackle, cornerback, maybe as deep as those two positions have been in several years. Maybe not the top end talent at cornerback, but just the depth of players available.
I like this draft in the sense that every year I struggle to get 18 guys with pure first round grades on them.
We were just talking about this. I'm curious what you think.
And I think this year I've got like 24.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
First round grades. Now the flip end of that is I'm struggling to get 255.
Yeah. The back end's a little soft.
With draftable grades.
Yeah.
That's going to change next year because the COVID year ends next year. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a flood of players who have no eligibility left. Yeah. I mean,
and not many juniors declared this year either.
Because of NIL. That was is the COVID plus the NIL deals have kind of changed the landscape. So, but I like the top
end. It's hurt
end
the depth, is what you think, more than anything.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the battle end next year.
Okay.
Because the COVID ends next year. If you were
done with six of your players.
Right.
And craziness.
Seventh year seniors. Yeah. Exactly. So if you were a freshman, if you played as a freshman in 2021, you don't get that COVID year, extra year.
Okay. So we're out of the woods on that finally.
Correct.
Okay. Makes sense. So...
Go ahead.
At 20, corner seems very in play for the Steelers. Yeah. Do you have a pecking order with your corners?
Still to be determined. I still like Kool-Aid McKistry, number one. I think the guy to watch for the Steelers and the guy that's moving up boards is Quinton Mitchell of Toledo. Yeah. I mean, he's not a flash in the pan. He's been a good cornerback for several seasons at Toledo.
Had a great Senior Bowl.
Phenomenal Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Got beat once in one-on-ones at the end of practice when he slipped out of his transition and Roman Wilson made a catch that really wouldn't have been a catch because he was out of bounds. It's the only time I saw him. And the thing about Mitchell is, if you watch him at Toledo, sometimes it's tough to scout him because no one threw in his direction.
Yeah.
And he was playing backed off the line of scrimmage. And one of the things about the Senior Bowl is they have you playing press. They have you playing man-to-man because that's what you're playing on Sunday.
Right.
And he did a great job of it.
That was the only question coming to the Senior Bowl, really.
That's it. Yeah. Now, the thing about it is, we interviewed him. I was interviewed him with the New York Giants, and he said he was outspoken about it. He was very calm about it. Says he's coming to the combine to set world records. So let's see what his 40 time is. Let's see what his vertical jump is, because he's got the size. You know, he's got the ball skills, and now if his testing numbers match up, he could. And I wrote about this at the Senior Bowl. He could eventually be the number one cornerback selected in the draft.
That's what I was asked. Could he pass Arnold, DeGene, all the? I mean, they're kind of clustered now to begin with.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Wiggins as well from Clemson.
Right. Right.
This guy's on the upswing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cornerback is a priority position. As you well know, Steelers stole a cornerback at the top of round two last year. So I think it's a definite possibility. Okay. I still like Kool-Aid McKistry. I know people are down on him, but Mitchell's a guy to watch.
We've had a man crush on DeGene for since the process, since we started learning about him.
The thing about DeJean is, I mean, he didn't play in a senior bowl. He was injured.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's going to be a cornerback or a safety. He looks a little stiff to me.
Okay.
I don't know. I saw him at the podium. I don't know if he's going to do the position drills here. I know he's not doing the testing. But, you know, it's you want to see the hip movement. Mm-hmm. You want to see the flexibility. Can he transition without losing any momentum? Man, I don't know if DeJean was a great cornerback in college or an opportunistic cornerback in college. And I think there's a difference.
Okay. Interesting.
I just think that's a guy you can add to the equation.
Right.
And figure it out. He'll play somewhere,
sure,
because of the ball skills.
As well as the return skills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a great athlete who is developing as a defensive back, as a cornerback, you know, maybe safety. But I think right now Mitchell's got it all going on.
Okay.
In terms of the offensive tackles, how do you have those guys kind of?
We also think that could be a play at 20.
Absolutely. I mean, I still like Fashanu. I know a lot of people like Ault. I like Ault. I just like Fashanu better because I like those mobile, athletic left tackles. Mm-hmm. I like Tyler Guyton, who had a good senior bowl. Fuega of Oregon State. Mm-hmm. Then, I mean, you know.
Some have said Fuega is a guard. I don't see that at all.
Well, that's only probably because he's not 6'6".
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 6'4
because of vines for arms and right.
But, I mean, if you watch them on tape, you watch them at the senior bowl. The only time those guys got beat at the senior bowl was by Adisa Isaac of Penn State. Then the question is, you know, if all those guys are going to 20 and Amarius Mims of Georgia staring to face.
We've kind of gone back and forth on him.
You know, he doesn't have a big body of work. I think he only started 8 games.
Yeah. That's what kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was dominant those 8 games.
He's got traits like
move Broderick Jones back to his natural position at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep Mims at right tackle. I like his film when there is film.
Yeah.
But there's just not that much of it.
I mean, back-to-back super talented Georgia tackles
could
go a long way.
And he's basically Roderick Jones with power. He's a powerful guy. He's probably not as good on the second or third level,
mm-hmm.
but he's not bad blocking in motion.
Okay.
But the, Jackson Powers Johnson was, I think he has to be in play at 20 as well.
If he's not play, you know, it's, or the Dolphins will take him, I think, where they select. I mean, he was hurt when he played this. He came to the Senior Bowl injured. He had the dominant first day. He was good the second day. He sat out the third day. But let's forget about the Senior Bowl for a while. 2022, he was a terrific right guard at Oregon. He kicked inside to center after Forsyth left, and Forsyth had a good season. Was outstanding. He's smart. He's big, but he's also mobile. He's not a stiff.
Oh, for a guy that size to be as mobile as he is rare.
I was shocked what he weighed in at after watching him just on TV casually on Saturdays.
I will tell you, a guy that the Steelers like, you're looking at day two, and I've heard this for a couple of months now, is Isaiah Adams of Illinois, who also had a couple of real good days of senior bowl practice.
Give us a thumbnail on him. I don't think we've brought him up yet.
You should. He played tackle and guard at Illinois. Mm-hmm. He was out of place at tackle because he's not a mobile guy. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about a tough, nasty Pittsburgh Steeler type of interior offensive lineman that looks to bury people into the ground, that's an outstanding run blocker, that has enough ability to get out on a second level, redirect your linebacker, take him from the action. That is a guy on day two to definitely look at, and I've known that they like him. I mean, he's a guy that has just grown on me. The more film I watch him, and then when I watch him 3 days at the Senior Bowl, destroy everybody.
Is center too much of a projection for him? I mean, is he probably a guard?
Right now, I don't know that he's ever taken a snap. I think more, you know, people may project him more tackle, but he's not even that good. He's a real good power gap guard.
Okay, that would fit.
Yeah, absolutely. This wide receiver group is pretty deep as well. I mean, you mentioned Wilson from Michigan. He was great at the Senior Bowl, and he's looked at as a round two type guy.
Right, round two or round three. I mean, I guess the first thing is Steelers going to keep Deonte Johnson?
I think so.
Could he be on the block?
You keep hearing it, this doesn't add up to us, to be honest.
Doesn't make sense. Why create another hole?
True, but I think it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than what goes on the field. So we'll see about that. But yeah, Roman Wilson, I think, is indicative of what we're seeing at the wide receiver position these days. Marvin Harrison is who he is. He's a great prospect, but you know, more and more you're seeing the receivers become a little bit more compact, become a little bit smaller. You don't have to be 215 pounds anymore. You don't have to run a 4.3. You got to run great routes, and you got to separate, and you got to get free, and you got to be able to create running after the catch. And Roman Wilson does all that, plus he brings the aspect of return specialist.
You mentioned Marvin. I mean, would Roman Neighbors be the first receiver off the board 8 out of 10 years?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I would go. I would go Neighbors then Roma Dusé.
Okay.
Because Neighbors is quicker. He separates easier. He's also better running after the catch.
Mm-hmm. More explosive to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More of a downfield threat. Dusé is a terrific player. I mean, when McMillan went down at Washington, he took over. The only reason they're probably in that championship game or in the playoffs is because that 4th and 23, that reverse he ran for on 4th down for 23 yards. So, you know, he leads by example, and he's a real good receiver.
Okay. What's your pecking order with the quarterbacks? I don't think that applies to the Steelers, to be honest with you, but do you have a clear favorite?
Clear. I like Williams more than Jaden Daniels and then Drake May.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels, you know, I liked him. When I watched the film, I absolutely loved him. I mean, he's a guy who was a better quarterback in 2023 than he was in 2022. And even in 2023, you saw him get better and better. He's smart. He's athletic. He's got a big-time arm. He can make all the throws. He can run with the ball, but he's not reckless running the ball. The only thing is he's a skinny guy. He's not a big Ben Roethlisberger, statuesque in the pocket type of passer, which may turn some people off. He's got it going on between the ears. He's got the physical skills. And he's just shown such tremendous progress, especially the past 2 years. And then it's Drake May, who I think maybe you can make the argument that 2 or 3 years, Drake may be a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. But you can also have to say that he's got a bigger bust factor than Jaden Daniels.
Is next year four?
McCarthy.
Oh, McCarthy, yeah.
J.J. McCarthy. Okay. But I don't rate, I mean, J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, they could go first round. I have second round grades on them.
Okay. There's a lot of buzz about McCarthy. He's definitely going the first round, and that seems like a stretch to me.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's quarterback.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was a linebacker, then no, right. And I mean, J.J. McCarthy, he's got great moxie. He's got great confidence. He's a tremendous quarterback on the college level, but you're projecting to the NFL. He's not a big guy. He doesn't have a huge arm. I watch a lot of the passes and a lot of those risky passes he made on Saturday are going to be interceptions on Sunday. And then, of course, they really didn't rely on him.
He wasn't the engine of the offense.
I mean, it was that offensive line that went 7 deep, you know, which helped the running game, which helped protect McCarthy.
Yeah, it makes it definitely interesting. Tony, we're going to let you go here so we can finish up the show here. But we appreciate your time, as always. That is Tony Pauline of sportskeeda.com. Check out that. He is the draft analyst for that and consulting editor. Lots of good stuff. Tony
joins us every year. Much appreciated.
Tony's been covering the draft, since Led Zeppelin was in their prime.
There you go.
Let's lock it started.
We could do a show on that.
We could.
There you go. But we always appreciate Tony stopping by and getting his thoughts on this particular draft and each year and good stuff as usual. But Matt, we're just about ready to wrap up here as well.
Yeah, I'll be back at 2 to 4, and I'll be part of the blitz. We did the trade
blitzing today.
I'll
be joined when we
this is like the upside down.
Get to the break here. It is like kind of like the upside down. When we take the break here, we'll go to
you got a lot of good stuff.
You'll
coming
jump
up
out
gone,
and
right?
Jerry Dulac and Max Starks will jump in here with us, and we'll take you up until 2 o'clock, and then Omar Khan, the Steelers general manager.
Yeah, so you got a packed 2 hours coming up while I'm gone.
Absolutely. We'll get to hear what Omar has to say about the teams. This is the first time we've had a chance opportunity this offseason to hear from Omar. So
right. And a lot going on.
So. Yeah. Looking forward to that as well. Matt,
thanks.
When the smoke clears from this week,
mm-hmm.
what do you think our main takeaway from this whole process is going to be?
That's a big item there. But I think, you know, we've been speculating for a while. What's the best path, you know, in order to get everything you possibly can? And things like defensive linemen have tripped me up a little bit. You know, how's the best way to address that position group? But I think you'll see better clusters, kind of like we did last segment where, boy, there's 4 to 7 second round linebackers. Let's go fishing there, you know, and let's use free agency accordingly. This week makes that a lot clearer, you know, where the pockets are that you want to be fishing and where you don't.
Yeah, and I think we'll get a much better idea of that kind of stuff. But I like what Tony had to say there with mm-hmm. 24 guys at the first round grade, and usually you're looking at like 16 to 18 that
We've been mentioning that, but it was good to hear it from another source.
Yeah, it wasn't just my thoughts on this. This is a guy who does this for a living.
Yeah. You don't want 18 when you're sitting at 20. You want to hear 23.
You want to hear 20, right. 23, 24. And that's why I think this draft sets up so well for the Steelers.
Me too.
That, you know, no matter what seems to happen, even when we do our mock drafts, there's always somebody there
that you're very comfortable
with. Oh, I'm good with that.
Yeah. And that's where I was going to go to is often there's three or four.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, who knows how it goes, and this will change. But moving from 20 to 24 might not hurt you at all.
A guy like McCarthy goes in that top 15 or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
That pushes somebody else down.
If Chop Robinson happens to go in there or something like that, all of a sudden you're like, great. Yeah. You know, so, or another defense, both defensive tackles. So, I mean, I think, you know, they were really – did a nice job last year with that extra pick, the Porter pick.
Yeah.
That if you could maybe go from 20 to 23 to 25 and pick up another day two pick and – you know, they packaged to move up at one point too. You know, it was Broderick Jones. It just, I'd love to see him add something else on day two. I mean, if possible, or just sit there and be very comfortable with who falls to you.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that in this particular draft where you know, it's not like last year. You know, if you look at what happened last year, there were three tackles. I want to say that
Johnson, Jones, and Wright.
And there was another one that was there. Broderick Jones was the fourth tackle taken.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Johnson went to the Cardinals. Wright went to the Bears.
Oh, what's his face with the Titans?
They called him a tackle. Yeah.
So I think that's what kind of precipitated the Steelers moving up, because they looked at it as, okay, there's these four tackles that we would take in the first round.
And the Jets were looming.
And it may have only been three because, you know, a lot of people looked at Skoronski as an interior guy.
Yeah, they usually go super quick. That's why this year is insane.
This year, you know, you could be sitting there going, oh, we got six or seven tackles that we think are first-round guys.
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, you know, Mims is your number six, but okay, that's not so bad.
Some years he might be number two.
Right. It'd be interesting to put this group of tackles mixed in with Broderick's class and rank them 1 to 10. You know, I mean, it's pretty strong.
Absolutely.
You know, 7/10 of them are this year.
Same thing with cornerbacks. Porter last year was the fourth cornerback taken at 32.
Okay.
He's picked at 32. There'll be more than four taken in the first 32 picks this year.
I think so, too. And I wanted to ask more about it, but you know, Tony's top guy was still Kool-Aid. And that's one of the few people I've heard say that. Not that he's right or wrong, but, I mean, if he's right there with the DeJeans and, you know, Mitchells and those guys, too, I think you're definitely going to get five.
Yeah, you might absolutely. So, again, you know, when you start counting off those picks, you know, 19 picks before the Steelers pick, well, you got six or seven offensive tackles. You got four or five cornerbacks. And you know the quarterbacks are going to go. You know the wide receivers are going to go. And it fills those spots up pretty quickly, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to get a good player at 20.
I don't know 20 is much worse than 15.
Yeah.
Or all that much better than 23 or 24.
Well, that's the other beauty of this draft is I don't know that – I think when you're talking about that line of delineation, when you're talking about the true first rounders, usually like, okay, these are the blue chip guys, and then there's some guys here, these are the next group, and they're not quite as good.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody's kind of in that same class.
I'm not trying to like – embellish this, but a Guyton, for example, or a Mims could be right there with Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are they really that much different? I mean, there just happened to be fewer of them last year.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's its ball. But again, the draft itself, not as deep.
No.
Overall.
No. I mean, the late rounds, I think, are going to be
like you're, you
scraping
know,
the bottom of the barrel.
125, 140 players that.
And maybe teams will draft long snappers and punters and things like that.
Or trade away picks this year for next year for, you know, teams that are looking to
the teams that are on the hot seat.
We still need another safety. Let's get another pick here and see if we can get that guy.
It wouldn't shock me if the Steelers end up drafting a punter or a running back or something that you don't think is a draftable position for where they're at, just because there's a lot of them, and as opposed to taking an undraftable type player.
Yeah, guy that may not make your roster, take a guy that's at least going to contribute in some way.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Which, again, is another reason I'd love to get a day two pick somehow if possible, because I don't know that you can count on hitting gold, you know,
you didn't get somebody in the first three rounds and you had those two fourth-round picks,
if you can package a 4 and a 6 to move up a little bit to get somebody that you really covet.
Go get a receiver that you like or whatever. That extra fourth goes a long way too.
Yeah, absolutely. But Matt, that's going to do it for our version or our part of the day here. So that's going to do it for the drive for today. We'll be back tomorrow to finish up our coverage here at the NFL Scouting Combine. But Matt's going to jump out. We'll have Jerry Dulac and Max Starks jumping in here. And as I said earlier, we'll hear from Steelers general manager Omar Khan later on this afternoon. So can't wait for that. But that's going to do it for the drive today here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. We are live at the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll be back with more here, but not with Matt, right after this.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.